You'll see ruins. You'll see flowers. You'll see some mighty pretty scenery. Don't let it fool you. You are in enemy country. Be alert. Suspicious of everyone. Take no chances. You are up against something more than tourist scenery. You are up against German history. It isn't good. This book was written chapter.
Those are the
by
sounds
chapter,
of a film produced by the War Department in the Army Information Branch, warning American soldiers to be on guard during their tour of duty. Although this film was produced after World War II, it bears similar resemblance to films produced during World War I, when discrimination against Germans all over the world went unchecked. And that includes German Americans living right here in Minnesota. Outside of Germany, Minnesota has one of the largest concentration of German citizens. Germans began arriving in Minnesota in large numbers around 1858. They didn't come to erase their backgrounds and become Americans. They came for opportunity. As World War I rolled around, many Germans living in Minnesota are second and third generation, but they still speak their language and maintain a connection to their homeland.
The German Americans, and they're almost all German Americans rather than Germans, get really caught. And Minnesota, I think, because there are so many Germans here, a sort of traditional Yankee Minnesota gets pretty frightened.
That's Annette Atkins, a retired American history professor from the College of St. Benedict at St. John's University. She says that when America entered World War I in 1917, a climate of fear and otherness gripped small towns like New Ulm and St. Cloud, where German Americans lived and created communities. But it wasn't just directed at German Americans.
So there is anti-war sentiment, but what gets confusing here is that anti-war gets lumped with kind of random fears in the air. One is about labor, one is about race, one is about religion.
To deal with people's distrust and suspicion, the Minnesota legislature created what came to be known as the Commission of Public Safety. Much like the witch hunts of the McCarthy era, the commission acted against anyone they believed to be against the war or, quote-unquote, disloyal. And that suspicion gave way to fear.
And so they see disloyalty in all of those communities, the laborers, the Catholics, certainly the German Americans. And you have to feel the fear in the area, in the region, kind of rising up.
In one fell swoop, the commission disposed of the mayor, the city attorney, and other leaders in the town of New Ulm because of their German background. They also outlawed the teaching of German in schools, and churches who conducted services in German were made to feel unwelcome. Labor activists, conscientious objectors, and anyone who was perceived of as being against the war was dealt with by the commission.
The people here were concerned because a lot of them had left their parents had left Europe for the very reason that with all the constant wars over there, they wanted to come to America where they would not have to become soldiers.
That's George Glotzbach, a German-American raised in New Ulm and Sleepy Eye, a farming community 14 miles outside of New Ulm. He is the city's unofficial spokesman. His grandfather ran a men's store in Sleepy Eye, and his great-great-grandfather came here in 1854 to start a flour mill. His grandfather's store in Sleepy Eye lost all the trade from non-Germans during the war. Although George didn't experience any discrimination directly, stories were passed down to him by his father and grandfather in the days and weeks leading up to America declaring war.
The Committee of Public Safety sent agents, one might call them spies. They attended the rallies to find out who was there and listen to who the speakers were. They kind of mingled around in saloons to see what people were saying. And they even were known to walk into people's houses unannounced and conduct inspections. So freedom of speech more or less disappeared.
Sometimes discrimination took the form of violence. In what was one of a handful of documented accounts in 1918, a German-American man by the name of John Mainz from the town of Laverne was taken to the South Dakota border by a vigilante mob. There, he was whipped, threatened with a gun, and tarred and feathered, all because he was thought to be a disloyal German-American to the United States. Although the Commission of Public Safety never condoned violence or committed any tarrings and featherings, they fostered an atmosphere where mob violence against citizens like Mainz would be tolerated. In fact, an account from the Minneapolis Tribune explains that the mob that attacked Mainz received a hero's welcome to their hometown after a not guilty verdict during the trial. Today, the town of New Ulm proudly displays its German heritage. After the war was over, many citizens in New Ulm and St. Cloud wanted to move on. Forgive and forget, says George Glotzbach. By World War II, any hesitancy to joining the war effort or pledge allegiance to America vanished, just like the Commission of Public Safety and other lingering fears. For KFAI, I'm Allison Herrera.
10,000 Fresh Voices on KFAI is made possible by listeners like you and the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.